Hello everyone, Joe Varnador here. Welcome to the Wednesday Performing Note Call. Hope everybody is well. Good afternoon, Miss Susan. How are you?
Doing great.
Very good. And Kevin and I will be co-sponsoring the call. So, Kevin, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, Joey, how are you? I'm doing great. What's temperature down here in Florida, buddy? We're back to the cold spell, so, you know, we had 80.
We're certainly, we're probably 90 plus the humidity, so, you know, it's all good. I was in Austin late last week at the National RIA mid-year event, and when I left, when I was in the Uber going to the airport Saturday afternoon in Austin, it was 103 degrees, but I don't know if Dave Fernecki's on the call today, but I was... some of the regional jets aren't able to take off from Phoenix this week because the temperature is up to 120 degrees, and some of those regionals, their max is about 118. So.
Dave's saying it's 123 yesterday in several places.
123 in the shade, yeah. Well, you know, the thing that affects an aircraft's performance is humidity and heat, so and elevation. So hot, high, and humid is the wings don't get very good lift. So anyway, it's all good. Yeah, I see Dave's on there. So all right. So what do we got? We have Dallas or Douglas. I don't know how Dallas Avenue. So we've got Douglas with a case study here. So why don't we go ahead and move forward with that, guys?
I'm going to try and bring him on, but I don't see he's got a speaker. Douglas, if you're listening, I'm not sure if you're on the phone. Oh. I don't have a microphone or anything for him.
You can see him, but can he raise his hand?
We hear him knocking, but he can't come in. Let's see.
I can see him, but I don't know if he dialed in. Called in, but there's nothing to unmute.
Okay. Well, let's see. I messed up my dashboard. Oh, here we go. So, let's see.
Douglas, if you can hear us.
Or if you want to go ahead and type in, Douglas, we'll do that as well. And just kind of let us know what your situation is there also. Yeah, Dave, you know, I like that. It's a dry heat, you know, but it's still hot, right? So, you know, that's where your contact lenses stick to your eyes. There's such a dry heat. There's no moisture, which is kind of bad as well. So it's kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't.
All right, so you want to go ahead and look at this asset on Dallas Avenue?
Sure.
Let's go ahead and do that.
Okay.
And did Douglas have some specific questions on this? And Douglas, if you do, just like I said, go ahead and he may be on the phone and not on the computer, not on his on his desktop or laptop. So
looks like maybe he's trying to connect.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So Douglas is new to Note School, and he has been on Notes Direct for a couple weeks. This is the first note. And there's some things that Douglas had a couple questions on, and I thought it would be a good case study to walk through just to kind of help everybody on the call, you know, freshen up your due diligence skills, and then also for Douglas, because this is his first note, kind of walk through some things and address the questions he'd asked, one of them being, you know, do I need to get a new BPO, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll go ahead. Let's kind of just walk through this note. All right. So with Douglas, his questions are, you know, number one, should I get a new BPO? Number two, what about the servicing company? Number three, are there any other specific due diligence processes that I should be addressing and focused on? So let's go ahead and, Joe, let's, Susan, if you can just pop up Notes Direct, let's walk through this.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Yep, and I can kind of give you the backstory as I understand it, and then if we can get we walk through it. So with Douglas, his first question on the BPO is when you look, let's see.
Do you want to unmute?
No, I don't know if I can.
Well, I hear somebody.
I hear somebody. We're unmuting. Hold on.
All right. I'm assuming that's Kathy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I guess we're okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys all look, everybody looks the same when you're on VoIP, so we don't know.
We can hear you.
Great. I don't know. We couldn't get it up on the laptop. I don't know what happened. Did it?
All right. No worries. Susan, if you want to take us to notes direct, and we'll go right to this asset, please.
I thought you were on notes direct. Oh.
Nope. Sorry. I can see your email. There you go.
Try to call him. Okay. There we go.
All right. So Douglas and Kathy, this is the first note you're looking at in terms of get ready to go under contract. And one of the questions you had was on the BPO. And Susan, if you can pop that BPO open.
Okay. The question was on it's old and I would need a new one. It's over a year old.
Okay. So what we're going to do is, Joe, you and I can kind of ping pong this thing back and forth. So
no, that sounds good. Hey guys. All right.
So this is a Douglas. This is a performing note. So right now, if you were to get a BPO done, what would be your main motivation in your mind?
I guess to look at the percentage of the loan or the purchase price to the value, the investment value.
Okay, so what you're looking at is you're going, you know, should I get a BPO done just to get a more current feel for what my ITV would be based on where the market is today, simply because this BPO is, what, about a year and a half old or so?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Joe, what do you think?
Well, from the backstory that I understand on this asset is it was an REO, and mm-hmm. then Colonial sold this obviously with seller financing, and so we've got what about an 18-month guarantee or 18-month certified pay history on this as mm-hmm. far as. A good pay history for the past 18 months or so. Is that correct, guys?
You got it.
I saw as well.
Yeah. So based on that, I mean, certainly you could get another BPO. I know that, you know, we're seeing some appreciation in value in the Cincinnati area. So it may reflect that this is, maybe the value now is 40 or 45. Who knows? Or, you know, 100. Well, we see the list here at 90 to 120 day marketing price. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know that it's really necessary. Would I do it? Probably not, since we have a good, strong pay history on this. But if you wanted to get a more a recent pictures of the property in the neighborhood, only do that. And you know, it wouldn't be a bad thing. It's not necessary, but it wouldn't be a bad thing to do. What do you think, Kev?
Yeah, at the end of the day, what I'm gonna say is, Douglas and Kathy, this really is going to be a matter of is having a current BPO something that makes you feel better from a risk tolerance standpoint, and then also your exit strategy, which we didn't ask you about, which is what's your intent. In terms of when you buy this, are you going to keep it for your own portfolio, or are you thinking of maybe trying to sell it to an investor, or maybe partial it out if it met that criteria?
Okay, at this point, we would plan to keep it just because just for the cash flow.
Okay.
If we purchase other notes, in the next one, well, we plan to purchase other notes here in the next year or longer, then. With the interest rate, I think was 9.9. We certainly could sell a partial on it. The if she if the I guess the reason I was thinking of a BPO is that if for some reason, you know, she's got a great history there, if for some reason she did default, then I would probably want to resell it, maybe as a turnkey rental, or as a seller financing, and that's what I was thinking in terms of the BPO, in terms of just of what would my options be in terms of reselling it.
But so Doug, if you know, if we, you spend $100 on a BPO and you know what, you can just call a local, you know, Google a local realtor and have them go by and do that for you. And if that really, if that makes you feel, you know, much better about the deal, then certainly it is not a bad thing to do. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about exit strategy, we kind of, you know, say, let's look at, you know, what's the, let's start with the end and work backwards. So, you know, worst case scenario is this borrower, well, sometimes the worst case scenario is the best case scenario. So, you know, what if this borrower did default and you had to, you know, take this thing back in 6 months or a year or whatever it is. The neighborhood's stable. I can tell you that property prices are, I mean, they're not going crazy in Cincinnati, but we're finally, I think, inventory has, the inventory of lower price band properties, which is this, is now kind of caught up with the demand. So what we're seeing is some price increases or some, you know, prices are going up. So, and the other part of this is if you did have to foreclose and take it back, obviously, it, you know, it would work as a turnkey rental. And I'm not sure, I guess we can look at it here as we flip down through the BPO as to what this property would be worth if we looked at it from a cap rate situation. Yeah. So we can look at that.
Yeah, the other thing is when you look at the pictures, it obviously needed work a year and a half ago.
Right.
In terms of carpet, there was a bathroom that needed to be redone.
Right. This time, since the folks are in the house, then it's simply going to be a drive-by appraisal. A regular BPO, and it won't be an inside inspection. But you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, it's you know, just like a lender transferring this loan from one servicer to another. You know, obviously we can only look at the outside. You know, the garage door looks a little rough there, but they may have replaced that or they may have fixed that. You know, we're not really sure there, but. And you can get kind of why it looks like it looks, because I'm sure every bit of the water that drains in kind of hits that garage door, and water is not great for anything. So the thing of it is if we did have to take that back and we did have to resell it using seller financing, when you're looking at a borrower on this type of property, basically they're not so concerned about the price. It's basically how much down and how much a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the criteria there. So certainly, you know, we could sell it for 50 or 55 or 60, depending on, again, what it looks like. And, you know, would you sell it as is, or would you sell it, or would you, you know, put a little bit of money in it and fix it up? But again, we don't know what the inside looks like. Thoughts, Kevin?
Yeah, Joe, I think you're spot on with everything. And what I'll do is just for the heck of it, I'm going to take it to just a little deeper level. And what I mean by that is, if you want to get an updated drive-by BPO on this thing right now, just to see, you know, if they painted the garage and the outside is, you know, in good shape, what that also does is that helps you kind of have a due diligence kit, almost an investor kit, put together, where things always change. And you may have a situation where you guys may find an investor who reaches out to you and says, well, do you have anything that's performing right now, that's got some track record, you know, et cetera, that you want to sell. And this is what I would call basically an on-the-shelf asset, where, you know, you bought it, you did your due diligence on it, and now you have it, and you obviously are monitoring it, because every month, you know, they're making their payments. But you can go, listen, when I bought it, you know, this is what I knew to be true. I did a BPO when I bought it just for the heck of it, and it came in at this, and you can tell that the neighborhood's, you know, stable, the house, it's well kept, blah blah blah. So it's at a deeper level, if you want to put it, the BPO as part of a investor package mentality, then go ahead. If not, what I want to look at is, what do I know about the neighborhood, and how attractive is that neighborhood in the event that I would have to take the property back and either sell it on seller financing, or if I wanted to do the turnkey. So I think, Douglas, I think you said that you guys did a quick snapshot in terms of like a Trulia. That all looked good, right? You were very, very comfortable with that.
I seem to remember it was like right on the edge of the green and the next color up.
Okay.
Alan just typed in here that he had looked on Trulia, and it's bright green, so it's good in that respect. And Keith said he would do an RPR if they wanted to do that as well. Okay. So anyway.
Okay.
What was an RPR?
RPR is a realtor system that.
The residential property report.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to do that, I'm sure they would appreciate it, my friend.
Okay. All right. So now I had other questions. Just now the title looked good, I thought.
We can take a look at that for you if you'd like. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We can do that.
I had all that up on my laptop, but we had to go over here to get on the webinar. I don't know why. Let me see. Okay.
And the monthly payment on this, so the interest rate's 9.9. You got a monthly payment stream on this of just about $389?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Remaining balance.
$44,000.
What's the remaining balance, and what's the remaining term on this, by the way?
Note was originated, it looks like, let me open it up just to verify, Joe, but it looks like it was done January of 2016. The first payment was due March of 2016.
Okay.
They made their June 5th payment. Next payment due is August. Yeah, so you're pretty fresh on this.
Okay, you guys go ahead and look at the O&E report and title, and I'm just gonna kind of load it here and play with it for just a second while you guys do that.
Let's see here. I'm multitasking. So the abstract report. Let's go, Susan. Let's go right to the top of this.
Oh, you want to go back to the top? Okay.
Yeah, because you're ahead of me here. Because this is that's fine. It says pro title, but it's an abstract. Okay. All right. So we're looking at 2015 special warranty deed. Okay. And is that the most current report that's in the file?
I believe so.
So, Joe, the original loan amount was $44,700.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
And the interest rate was 9.9.
9.9.
And the payment was how much?
$388.89, and then taxes and insurance.
That doesn't matter.
Yep. Oh, it matters.
Okay, what was the term? Sorry about that.
360. But there were 332 left, I believe.
Okay.
All right. So let me, Susan, I'm walking along here with you. Hold on, sorry. All right. So this, the O&E report that was done, owner and encumbrance. All your vesting looks good. Okay, that's where. So basically, special warranty deed, sheriff's deed. So this was done as a foreclosure, turned into an REO. Okay. All the old stuff is closed out. Douglas, what taxes were all current on this right now, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see. And because it was an REO, their terms of liens and encumbrances, that pretty much cleans that stuff up. And let me see. Yep, that's all old. There you go, Joe. Blast from the past. New Century Mortgage.
Yep.
New Century ARM. Okay. Yeah, you're Douglas. You guys are exactly right. It's nice and clean here. I don't see anything in there. Okay. All right. So besides the BPO question, you wanted to make sure that you were comfortable with title. There's no tax issues. So talk me through your other thoughts on this, and then what we can do is let's look at this from
Coming back to the fact that the there's a very good pay history for the last 18 months.
Sure.
Do I need to get a credit report on the borrower?
You know, that's the eternal question, and I'm going to weigh in, and then I'll let Joe weigh in. So, I personally, so my personal answer is, on a seasoned loan, I typically don't get them, but that's my personal. Again, it's what you guys want to do from your risk tolerance level. There are ways that you can do it, but if you know that this loan was originated in January of 2016, the first payment was due in March of 2016, and you can see that whole chain right to today, right through June.
Yeah.
What difference does the credit report make?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly my, you know, if this had if this loan had, you know, 2 or 3 months of seasoning, yeah, that would have been something that would have affected my decision. But based on what it is, and it really doesn't matter how they're paying their other bills, it just basically matters how they're paying, you know, how they're paying this particular house payment. So it wouldn't really be a factor for me as well. And like I said, there's ways to do it. You know, certainly there's ways you can find out what the credit is. And, you know, one of the things that you can do and that you will do, you know, before you bought it, you could certainly do a call with the borrower if you wanted to. Most of the companies I know, we used to always do we call it a Vendee verification, where we would just simply go in and give the call and say, hey, you know, we're buying this loan and we're getting ready to transfer it. Nothing is going to change to you. Just want to make sure that you verify or that you'll verify the current balance as you know it, and that type of thing. So you can certainly do that as well if you choose to do that.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Now you usually recommend 24 months of seasoning, don't you?
No, 6 months.
Just 6 months? Where did I get 24 months?
Well, so here's it. Let's talk about that just a second. Yeah. I mean, it depends on what you're going to do with this. So if you were going to sell a partial on this, I would say 6 months of seasoning before you would look at selling a partial. And that really also, guys, depends on the person that you're selling it to and what kind of rate of return you would be giving them. So whether you were selling a full or selling a partial, if I'm selling this to another to a real estate investor that's used to getting a higher rate of return, for instance, they're looking to get a 10, 11, or a 12% rate of return, then certainly I sell some partials on stuff that I'm not seizing it at all, okay? But there's a higher return for the borrower. If I'm selling this to, you know, a retired government worker, retired, you know, somebody that's not a teacher, somebody that's not in the real estate industry and just looking for a good loan to buy, I would certainly season this for at least 6 months before I sold it to someone like that. Because what you're, you know, the risk tolerance is different for one investor than it is for the other. And of course, that's always the case. But if I'm selling it to a, like I said, to a seasoned real estate investor, then, you know, it's a whole lot different. I'm giving them a higher rate of return. It's versus selling it to somebody that's got an IRA with equity or with Quest. That's a whole different person, and you want to make that as seamless as possible for them. So it truly is just a true passive investment, and there's no, you know, as the saying goes, no hair on the deal. So that's really what we would look at this. But if I were buying with 18 months of seasoning, you know, it's, again, it's fine. You've got, well, you know, things happen to good people all the time, so there are no absolutes. But certainly the best you can do is the best you can do. And you could check their credit tomorrow, and their credit could be perfect, and one of them could lose a job, and it would be, you know, that would be a total moot point. So I guess it's like getting an EKG and then 3 hours later having a heart attack. So, you know, we can only do what we can do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And Joe, I agree with you where it's important to do your due diligence, and it's important to remember that your due diligence is designed to be a checklist where you go, yes, I verified it, boom, go to the next thing. Yes, I verified it, boom, go to the next thing. And with this particular loan, the seasoning question is a great question where, you know, you hear Douglas and Kathleen going back and forth about, well, 24 months or 6 months. With this loan, it's pretty clear cut because you go, out of X number of possible payments, have they made them? And if the answer is yes, they have, and you can see the payment behavior where, you know, they pay them within 5 days of the due date, or they pay them, you know, 1 day before, or they always pay, you know, 12 days in to stay out of the 15-day late fee. Okay, that gives you the clearest possible picture. In terms of a credit report, are there legal ways to get a credit report pulled? Yes, there are. In some cases, what you may find is that you can just go into PACER and just do a quick double check in PACER to see if there's been any BK filings with them. Okay. And then also Netter, so Netter Online, you can go in and you can do a quick public record search on the borrower and also the property. Another way is an O&E report will sometimes give you some information on the borrower, where if they had a charge card or a car loan they didn't pay on and there was a civil judgment issued, that may show up in the O&E report as possible. So, again, with this one, you're looking at a property that's in a stable market. You know it was foreclosed on. It became an REO. These people bought it. You can see the nuts and bolts of the transaction right from the file, right from the get-go. And then you can see the pay history, which goes all the way back to, you know, March of last year. So this one, it's I don't want to say it's a vanilla deal, but in terms of clear cut and clean, you know, you guys, you picked a nice deal to work on and a nice deal to go, okay, as our first loan in the performing side, is this, you know, going to be one of the cleanest one? And me, I personally, I love the payment. I mean, that, you know, having a payment that's almost $400 and you've got so many months remaining, it gives you a ton of opportunities for a long time. So, let's see. And then, Joe, one question. So Warren had popped in. You had referenced that you could go ahead and do a Vendi verification. Just to clarify, what you meant by that is you basically you're just double checking the pay history with the seller of the note, correct?
Yeah, and that's something we did, or Metropolitan did from the Metropolitan, you know, mortgage and security days, was simply just making and it can certainly be sent as a registered or a certified mail, and it's just sent to the borrower saying, you know, as of today. And it's also, you've probably heard it called an estoppel letter as well, right, Kevin, where basically it's saying as of today, this the current balance on this loan is, we agree that you say the balance is $42,977 or whatever it is, It's just an agreement so that the borrower couldn't come back sometime in the future and say, oh, well, I thought the balance was $37,000 and not $42,000. So that's just the old estoppel, vendee verification, and that type of thing.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So we're looking at moving forward with this.
Okay.
Does the servicer fee? How do you contact or get a servicer for this? And what fee does the servicer charge? And does that come out of the principal and interest for the servicer charge?
So Douglas, this asset, let me see, this is a Colonial asset, so I'm assuming, I'm going to make the assumption that this is, let's see, Kathy, if you open up the rows, is there a servicer field on there on the pay history? So Douglas, you've got the option of either switching it to a new servicer or keeping it with the existing servicer. Okay. So let's see here.
I don't see anything on the
spreadsheet. Does it show who it is?
No.
Okay. What I would do is just if you go into Notes Direct, you can go ahead and just type in and say, hey, I'd like to go ahead and keep the same servicer that Colonial has, and then they'll tell you who that is. And then all servicers have a different, they all have different fee structures, rate schedules, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What you can do is once Colonial tells you who the servicer is, you can just contact the servicer and say, hey, I'm buying a Colonial asset that's boarded with you. And then they'll have some paperwork for you to fill out. I think with NAA, I think they've got like a 4 or 5 page contract. Other servicers, you know, may have a 2 page. They all vary. So
okay.
Right, that's okay, Susan.
But okay.
Go ahead. No, let's walk through this. So this is why we're all here, to do this stuff. So.
But the fee for the servicer comes out of that monthly payment from the borrower.
It all depends how it was set up. If I understand your correct, if I understand your question, what you're doing is you're going, okay, if there's three, if the payment's $388.89, are they then subtracting my servicing payment out of that? And let's just say the servicing fee, and I'm just going to pick a number, let's just say it was $30 a month, my net would end up being, you know, $359.99. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yep. That's one way to do it. Kathleen, I've done them just about every which way that's possible. And again, I don't know who the servicer is, so I don't know how many options they give you.
Okay.
Okay, let's
saying it's NAA. There's a couple people who are saying it's an NAA asset.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most likely you'd want to leave the servicing where it is.
Yeah, if you can leave it retained. Yeah, if you can leave servicing retained, it's just easier. It's just faster.
Yep, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Let me run through a couple of these questions and or comments here. And I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole here, but so Curtis is asking, so what if they sold it and they sold the remaining payments, the remaining 332 payments, what would happen to the investor? Well, the investor would, the person you sold it to is now the lender, and the lender would be responsible for foreclosing or modifying if that was something they could do. If you sold a partial, then you would have the option of going in and making the investor whole on the balance of his investment based on the entitlement schedule, and then taking the property back and reselling it, doing something like that with it. So that's what that looks like. And Let's see. Yep, you could order an updated O&E, most definitely. Warren says, are you allowed to run a credit report? Yes, you can. You'll have to, there's some companies out there that'll do that. And you do have the right to do it because you're considering entering into a credit relationship with those borrowers. For instance, if Colonial were buying a performing note from someone and it didn't have a pay history, which a lot of these aren't. So if you're buying from an individual note investor, so I've sold my house, I'm just a guy that sells a house or two a year, and I'm going to sell one of my notes. So one of the things that you would want to look at would be the pay history, and it would need to be a certified pay history. Well, most individual note sellers out there that really aren't in the note business really don't know anything about having a servicer servicing the loan. So you're at the mercy of me providing you with some kind of pay history, and I probably don't have anything other than, I take the check when I get it every month and it's deposited into my business account, and you go from there. So most investors in that case, since there's not a pay history, would then want to look at running a credit report. And that would be something that you would have the right to do if you were buying that note based on you entering into a continuing credit relationship with this borrower. But again, if there is a certified pay history and it's, a couple of years old, 18 months, a year, or whatever it is, then, the credit report isn't such a big deal. It's not really how they pay everybody else. It's how they're paying on their loan. But again, if I'm just an individual selling and I've never had it professionally serviced, so I can't provide a certified pay history, then obviously there's not much validity in that, and you would want to make another check on that checkbox and make sure you did it. And again, Curtis, if they stop making payments, again, most lenders, you're the bank, remember, so if they're 30 days past due, then obviously you're going to try to see what's going on with them. And if they're 90 days past due, then you would certainly go in and start the foreclosure process and go through that. So remember, you're the bank, and if they're communicating with you and there's just a blip, they've lost a job and looking for another one, it just really depends on what the situation is as to when you're going to start the foreclosure process. But the sooner the better is the way you look at that. And does the Vindy letter violate the NDA with CFG? I don't know. What do you think, Kev?
Well, so for everybody on the call, let's not get too focused on Vindy letters and estoppel letters and everything else, because let me explain to you what happens in the real world. In the real world, when Colonial sells this asset to Douglas and Kathy, what's going to happen is there's going to be a hello letter and a goodbye letter. So Colonial's going to send a goodbye letter, and then Douglas will be sending a hello letter. This will all be handled through their servicer. When the sale of the note is consummated, there is basically I call it the cutoff date, where when you guys consummate the sale, the principal balance on that day will be bang, and Colonial will have that in the dock. That's where your new loan starts up. At the end of the year, you're going to then close out 2017, and you're going to have an ending balance for 2017. Your servicer, because this is an escrowed loan, they're also then going to notify the borrower also of where their escrow is for the end of the year. So in terms of Vindy letters and estoppel letters and all that, it's a much cleaner process.
You're right, Kevin. That is kind of old school. Forgive me for
right.
I wasn't okay. Thinking about the hello, goodbye, and the goodbye, hello thing. So you're exactly right. That's old school.
It's all good. Joe, I'm laughing because the last time I had to have an estoppel letter was when I bought a defaulted commercial note.
Right.
And we had to have everybody do estoppel letters and blah blah blah. But yes. So with this, remember that the servicer is going to handle all this for you. Are you going to want to double check it and make sure the math is right? Absolutely, because it's your money. But at the end of the day, yeah, you don't worry about estoppels and vendees and all that other stuff. It's, are they paying? Are they paying on time? Where's it going? You know, are escrows okay? Are county taxes paid? In terms of due diligence, if you want to get an updated drive-by BPO, get one done. If you want to go ahead and get an O&E report, get one done. If you're comfortable with, reaching out to Keith and have an RPR done where they're going to get you basically kind of the best available in terms of comparable sales in the market at that point. And this is, you know, the RPR is kind of a B2B tool. That's a realtor-to-realtor tool. There's good value in those. And then don't forget, Netter Online can give you good info. Pacer can give you good info. Getting on the county website can give you good info. So these are all things that are at your fingertip. At the end of the day, you're looking at an asset that's in just a solid Midwest city, and a borrower, you know when they got in it, and you can see that they've paid by check. For some reason they didn't pay by check. There was a couple that, you know what, they sent a money order in. They're motivated to keep paying, and I think they're actually ahead or a payment or something right now. So just keep banging along in this thing. And everybody that's on the call, also remember, marry up your pay histories where on Notes Direct, where it says view detailed pay history, you can look at that. What we're trying to build there is to give you the best real time, constantly updated data. And then you marry that with the old school spreadsheets that we try to keep in the files as well. So on this one, you got a pretty complete story.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Exactly. And again, guys, it's up to you as far as the O&E report. If you wanted, if you want to get a new BPO, that's fine as well, or the RPR report. That's up to you. That's on the other side of that. And again, it's what does it look like and what do you want to do? One other question about credit report. Warren, if you again, if you're buying a note that is serviced by a third party that has a certified pay history, don't worry about, that wouldn't be something I would even consider. If I had sent you a marketing letter because I found that you owned a performing, you had sold a house and now you are receiving payments on a performing loan and you're servicing that loan yourself, meaning that you're receiving those monthly payments, then certainly I would want you as the note owner to provide me with the, once I got the loan under contract, subject to my further due diligence. And again, we're talking about buying a loan service from, that's a service, professionally serviced loan from Colonial or whatever, versus buying it from somebody that just created a note and sold a house. So that's a whole different process. And would I run a credit report on that borrower if I didn't have a certified pay history? Yes. And when the note seller signs the contract saying, that I send saying I'm going to buy the note subject to my further due diligence, which would be a BPO and credit and that kind of thing, and title, then at that point, if the note seller didn't have the Social Security number, then obviously I'd have to have some sleuthing done by one of these skip trace companies and try to find the social so that you could run credit. But it does, you do have the ability to do that based on the fact that you have would have an ongoing credit relationship with that borrower. But again, it only if it's really not serviced by a third party and you've got a good pay history on it. So hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Good. Okay. Kevin, do you want to just have a look at this real quick as far as if we looked at doing a partial or what it would look like. You think that would be some value there?
Yeah, Joe, I'll tell you what. This I like where we are right now with this, and I think let's look at the math because this is a
good... transfer the screen over to me for a second.
Joe, this is a good teaching asset because it's so fresh. And what I mean by that is, guys, you know, it was originated as a 30-year loan about a year and a half ago, and we've got a good pay history, so we know what the balance is, we know what the remaining is. And so, this will give you some ideas on, you know what, we get the thing boarded, we may find that at some point we may want to go ahead and do a partial. And the reason being is I can recycle capital and go to another deal.
That's what Doug, that's what we're talking about there.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, guys, so here's the loan, basically the input on the loan. You know, the estimated value was 50. Selling price, I just put 45. It doesn't really matter. The beginning balance was 44.7, 9.9% interest rate, 360 months, 388.89 is the monthly payment. There's been 18 payments made, 342 remaining, and the remaining balance is about $44,300. So if we looked at what you're doing on this, so you've got, I don't know what the buy price is, what you guys would be buying, or what's the asking price on Notes Direct for the loan?
It's a $37,750.
Okay.
Yeah. $37,750.
Okay. So $37,750. So you're looking, let's see, what is this? About a 13. Okay, no, let's go down. Let me keep playing with it there. So it's about a 10.5. I gotta go up. Okay, so about a 12% yield is what that's looking like there. So if you were to buy that right now, and then you were to season it a few more months, or you were to season it and you wanted to sell the entire loan, and you had an investor that wanted to receive an 8% rate of return, well, wow, that goes way up there, doesn't it? That makes it $52,321. So let's look at this. Let's go to 10 and say, okay, if we sold this at a 10% rate of return, and this is just, you know, thinking that it's worth $50,000, it may be worth more. So $43,935, if you sold that entire loan at a 10% rate of return to an investor, then it would, you'd be looking at selling it for somewhere around $43,935. You pay $37,750 for it. You've made a little money there. But if we went down and said, okay, what if we were to sell? Oh, what do you think, Kevin? This is a lot of payments left on this. There's 342 remaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just say we sold 15 years of payments on this, and we sold it at a 9% rate of return. So literally, if we sold 15 years of payments, we could get our money back and own the back end of this, right?
Yeah.
If we were to go and say, okay, what if we said we sold 220 payments? So 220 payments at a 9% yield, then you would be looking at $41,832. So you're looking at $2,500. You're looking at what, about $3,500, $3,600 in money now. And then what, 122 payments on the back end. So is that kind of what you were thinking of, Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I with this one, Joe, what's fun about this one is, again, it's a fresher loan, and you've got a 9.9% rate with a payment that's about $400, so it's easy to really, it's easy to visualize with this, and what's very interesting is we've got people typing in kind of they're doing their own yields, and it's interesting because we've got some of the students are typing in and they're giving us adjusted yields where, you know, they're taking the $500 closing fee, and I mean it's always very interesting to see everybody's calculates their yield. So
right.
I'm peanut butter and jelly. And I'm laughing because I always try to do everything with as few keystrokes as possible. And when the first keystroke took me to 12, I'm like, okay, I'm just, everything else is just noise. Because then right there, I know I can go and restructure. And I know I've got a strong note to partial out or even do as a whole. Because typically I'm going to be selling to an investor at somewhere, you know, some investors will take 6, some investors take 7, some want 8, some want 9, you know, some want 10. Perfect. Because I know the note rate's 9.9 to begin with, I'm just going to go in and play with the term and figure out, can I make some upfront profit on this, get 100% of my capital back, and keep some of the back end.
There you go.
Win-win.
I agree, Kevin. I mean, that's exactly why we do an exercise like this, is say, okay, where do we reach equilibrium? And then if we were to sell again, you're just kind of playing with this and said, okay, if I did 200 payments, well, that's not what I was going to do.
Yeah.
Let's go over here. I just screwed up my thing here. So anyway.
And please don't confuse any. Like when Joe and I, we love doing this kind of open forum dialogue stuff. We're not minimizing anything. We're not telling you to skip steps. What we're doing is we're just sharing our expertise where as you move through this, there's going to be some notes that you'll be able to get to a positive response to more quickly just because we're showing you the shortcuts where it's like, listen, if it's 9.9 and it's a fresh note, bam, then here, go right to this. Skip 2 or 3 steps and go to the next thing. In terms of yield, I can do yield on my HP with 3 keystrokes. Bing, bing, bing.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's Eddie's saying? You don't need a calculator for that, or you don't need a spreadsheet for that, or whatever. It's, you know.
Nope. That's exactly right.
Yep.
Okay. So other questions to clear up on this, guys? Kevin, anything else you want to mention on this loan?
No, I think we're in good shape with this, and Douglas and Kathy, just keep us up to speed in terms of, you know, what we decided to do the following, you know, and that, whatever that is. Just let us know, just as part of follow-up.
And if you want to take the screen back, Susan, that's great. Okay.
Thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome. And I'm going to go to the eye doctor because evidently I was the only person that couldn't see NAA on the Notes Direct website, so I appreciate that.
No, I couldn't find it either today. I was having a blonde moment myself.
I'm laughing because we've got about 28 comments on the board and 26 of them all had to do with it. It's on the front page!
Right.
So thank you for everybody for that. So Joe will buy everybody a beer next time he sees them because they were able to find it.
Yep. So here's really the bottom line, guys, and again we're gonna go back old school here just a minute here, Kevin, and you and I have talked about this numerous times. You know, as little as 3 or 4 years ago, things were different. I mean, there really was not. If you wanted to be in the performing business, a little different, but if you wanted to be in the non-performing loan space or I mean, basically you had to look at a spreadsheet. You didn't get to look at the due diligence files, and there wasn't a BPO there for you to look at and all of those things. So what it forced you to do, Kevin, is it forced you to do your own research so that you owned it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
You couldn't go to a website like Notes Direct and go, okay, guys, here's, you know, I can look at all the due diligence files. You know, when you received or marketed and you had somebody that wanted to sell a seller finance note, basically you had to go out into the real world and you had to send out mailers and you had to wait for that person to respond when you sent out those mailers. And they sent you a sheet that had basically what the house sold for, how much the down payment was, what the interest rate was, what the or is, what the current monthly payment is. And it was just a piece of paper with some numbers on it, right? And so as a note buyer, you would go through and you would give them something called a soft quote, because all you were doing was looking at the numbers that they provided you, which was, you know, the original sale price, the interest rate, the number of payments made, the current balance, and those types of things. So you couldn't look at a BPO. You couldn't go and look at a title report. What you had to do next was, once you received those numbers, is you quoted it and you gave your borrowers or you gave your note seller a soft quote. And it was just saying, I'll buy this based on what's the value of the property, what's the, you know, verification that the taxes are paid, and value, credit on the borrower, and all of those types of things. And then you had to go in and you had to build the picture. I had to order myself a BPO, you know, unless I wanted to just go off what the free site said. And then I had to, you know, they would send me copies of the documents, and they'd have to put them in the fax machine, and they would have to fax them to me, or they would have to mail them to me. So what I'm saying here is simply this, is that things are so much easier today. So what some of you guys are not doing is doing some of that sleuthing on your own. And I'm not saying that you need to do that on every deal, but know how to go and, you know, either call the tax collector's office and verify the taxes, or, you know, run your own values, and you can do that on every deal pretty simply. Does all that make sense, Kevin? I mean,
Yeah.
When we're talking about doing a deep dive, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. No, Joe, you're exactly right, and also what is a lot of fun on the calls is we'll also get some weigh-ins from students who, they're now in their 12th or 14th or 36th or 60th note transaction, and they'll kind of weigh in and they'll go, yeah, you know, man, on my first couple I did this, this, and this, and then I found out that I didn't need to do that, but it was because they had gotten that much more experience. Or what they'll do a lot of times too is they'll share where they're like, hey, man, I found this vendor that they'll give me all of this information, you know, put in a box with a bow wrapped on it, and I can just order it up, and it takes 24 hours to get the stuff back. So
yeah, I want to unmute Dave here, Dave Fernecki, real quick, because, you know, Dave is one of these, you know, he's one of these guys. Hey, Dave, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm putting you on the spot here real quick, but just, you know, Dave is one of the guys that he's doing a great job of sending out, you know, buying lists of people that have sold their properties and done seller financing. So he's not only has notes direct to look at, you know, performing loans on, but he's also, you know, making his own market out there as well. And am I correct that, you know, when you send out a letter to someone and they contact you about wanting to know what their note's worth, I mean, basically they're just giving you some numbers, right?
Yeah, if they're accurate.
Yeah, well, there you go, right? Yeah, you can't look at all the docs and all. You can't look at the copy of the closing statement, the settlement statement, and a copy of the mortgage and the note and all those things till you get a little further down the road, right?
That's correct. They could literally almost be in their deathbed and they still want par.
Yeah. So,
10%.
And you know, guys, I'm not saying that you're spoiled or anything like that. It's just when you're, you know, you're looking and buying notes, and there could be somebody in your REIT that has a note they want to sell, and again, they just sold a property and they didn't really know what to do. They just kind of sold it and they're servicing it. But, you know, so Dave, you've got to go through the process of, okay, when they get you those numbers on that first sheet, the next thing they're going to do then is they're going to kind of send you over the mortgage and the note and kind of the pay history, whatever that looks like, right? And most of them don't have a pay history. And then you're going to have to look at it and say, okay, well, the interest rate was 7%, but the monthly payment wasn't 492. It was really 427. And there was really 40 payments made versus 62. And you know, that's kind of what I'm getting to here is, you know, some sleuthing that you kind of have to go out and you just want to make sure that you're, that you know that process as well.
And Joe, that's probably the best thing I've ever done is to do the mailings in terms of me learning the business.
And guys, I'm not saying that, you know, everybody needs to go out there and do mailings that you need to do that when you can go, you know, directly right there to the source. But when you're looking at a note on Notes Direct, certainly you're going to look at that BPO, but take two or three extra minutes and go to Trulia and Realtor.com and Redfin and Zillow and say, okay, well, here's what the BPO said there. What did the other free sites say? And what do they say about the rental? And then you can kind of go to the tax assessor's, you know, website, and you can do some sleuthing like that just to give you a deeper understanding of the real deal and of the real area. So, you know, that's some of the things that we can do as a good note investor and as we start moving forward and looking. But you're right, Dave, when you're doing it just the way we did it, you know, 25 years ago, is you're sending out a letter and waiting for somebody to respond. And, you know, fortunately, it's worked out very well for you.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. Yes.
So anyway, Kevin, thanks for sharing that with us, man. So, Kevin, what do you have to say as we start winding the call up today?
I would say I am really happy that we had Douglas and Kathy throw this up, because it got a good dialogue going and it opens up everybody's eyes. I appreciate also all the comments on the question board, because again, remember, guys, we're here to help teach you, to show you the shortcuts, to keep you out of the weeds, help you get the noise out of your head, and focus on what's really important, which is you're all in this to accomplish some business goals and some life goals and to have some fun. And at the end of the day, you got to buy notes. It's real simple. To be in the note business, you got to buy and sell notes. And we're here to help you figure out the fastest and best way to do that. And that's it.
Good. And we did say, Kevin and I did say last week, and we just time got away from us, yep, as far as the looking at, you know, how you explain to an investor what that looks like. So we'll make sure that we get that done. We'll put a little presentation together.
Right.
We'll promise it'll be next week, but it'll be in the next couple of weeks, and we'll get that out there as well. So Susan, any housekeeping items that we need to go through before we wrap it up?
Well, just a couple of minor things today. There is still good pricing on the Note School Expo. They sent out a new email in case everybody didn't get that. You can always contact content or liaison. And we have upcoming class this weekend.
Cleveland. Martell and Kevin and Dwayne will be in Cleveland this weekend. I know we've got probably 10 of you guys that are going to be at that, and then September or August in San Francisco, and they're probably looking at adding another class sometime either a week or 2 weeks after the San Francisco class in Los Angeles. Not 100% on that, but that's kind of the plan as we move forward as well.
All right, and we have our titanium visits that Eddie's been talking about, and that's all the housekeeping we have for today.
Very good, and I think, Susan, I think the price keeps bumping up on Note Expo. So I think maybe the first price break has gone by, or is that they still have time to sign up with the early bird price?
Well, the first price break is gone, but there's still a good price on bringing a guest. So you want to do it soon before it jumps up again.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, thanks so much. Kevin, give me about 5 minutes and I'll call you. So thanks, guys. We appreciate you all being on, and we just appreciate you, you know, you being there and being part of the Note School bunch here. So we'll talk soon. Thanks, Susan. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.